York Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2, Ann Fagan and Harold Kimball interviewing Mrs. Gussie Shore on Monday, May 19th, 1986. Yeah. Tape 3, Side 1.
There we go. It is 10.
Mrs. Shore, today we're going to start with your children, your adult children and their careers. Why don't you tell us about what they're doing now, their accomplishments?
Sydney was working in the United States for Toro, and all of a sudden the company pretty near went bankrupt for something that the president and, you know, the man in charge and so forth and so on did. And so he had a very dear friend in Europe. This man's name is Dan Boyer. And they saw each other once in a while. So Sidney was laid off from his job in Europe. He had the whole continent in Europe, European continent.
What continent?
To sell Toro merchandise.
Can you spell that? Do you know how Toro is spelled?
T-O-R-O.
Right.
Yes.
And after he left Toro, then
after
he
left there, he just called because he knew he was somewhere in Europe, and he called his friend Dan Boyer, and he told and Dan Boyer says, "What are you doing now?" He says, "I was just fired." He says, "You're fired? That's good. You're coming to work for me. No matter what you got the pay, they will give you the same pay, and you work for me." So he said, "Well, whatever I have to do, I suppose I'll know what to do." And so forth, and that's how it started. And he worked for Dan Boyer. He still works for Dan Boyer. And
all right, let's back up just a little bit. When he worked for, what was Toro's product? What did they manufacture?
Toro product was lawn mowers and snow blowers, stuff like that. But they also had, they invested a lot of money in a lot of other businesses like toys and all kinds of.
And his present company?
His present company is Dan Boyer Incorporated, I suppose.
And they do?
They do, the count. This man was a count, and he had a bank account, you know, and he had a chateau, and all of a sudden, the ground became very valuable because they were putting up condominiums all over Brussels. And so he became fabulously wealthy, and he didn't know what to do, what to buy first. So he bought a lot of stuff that wasn't useful for anything. You know, he bought computer machines and antiques, you know, mm-hmm. paintings and stuff like that. And then they had to sell everything to get money out of that because it wasn't making any money. Mm-hmm. He was just, you know, getting involved and losing a lot of money, spending a lot of money, rather.
And Sidney's job was
so to... they called this, the bank called Dan Boyer and introduced themselves and said that we want you to work for this count. He needs help, and you straighten him out. So that's what happened.
And Sidney then is involved in sales of these various
right, with lawyers
purchases.
And everything, this that is, everything is legal.
Mm-hmm. This yeah. is all over Europe?
I don't know, but I know it's in France and in Brussels.
And Sidney is
it
based
could be
in...
I think it's in the United States, too.
And Sidney is based in Brussels?
Sidney is...
Right.
Right.
Okay. Now, let's move on to your other sons and your daughter.
My son Jack, he's the one that has his leg off.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked for years in, I forgot the man's name. And then he went into business for himself. He's in business in the chemical. He's a chemist.
Mm-hmm.
And he went into business and he's doing wonderful in the Strip District. And I think the 29th Street, something like that.
And he's married to?
And he's married to Barbara K. Shore.
Mm-hmm.
And
Barbara has quite a career for herself. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, she started after she was married for quite some time. She started to do things for this community and for, you know, for anybody that needed help. She was right there.
Her degree is in social work, is it not?
Right, yeah. And I think Betty can tell you more about Barbara than I can.
Well, Barbara, we know, is on the faculty at the University of Pittsburgh.
Yes, that's right.
The School
she teaches
of Social
the
Work.
Doctoral course.
Right.
Yeah, that
and,
I know.
Okay.
And I know this weekend she was going to Harrisburg or someplace. I don't know.
And she has, they have how many grandchildren? You have how many grandchildren from Jack and Barbara?
Three, five, seven.
So there are seven grandchildren in that branch of the family.
Yeah.
All right, now let's talk about your other son. That would be two more sons, and then we'll get to Betty.
Abraham.
Yes.
Yeah, he's working for Long John Silver in the advertising. He places the advertisements for Long John Silver. And he has access to a lot of money because the TV takes a lot of money.
Yes. Has he always been in advertising?
Well, for a number of years, I should say about 10 years, the last 10 years.
And he has, Abe has how many children?
He has three sons. Oh. And one lives in Texas, one lives in New Jersey, and the other one teaches art in New England, one of the universities in New England.
So you have another artist in the family.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. And Sherman?
And Sherman just now went into business for himself. He worked for John Wolfe for many years. And he decided that he would like to go into business for himself, so he started. And I can't believe it, but he has a lot of people that trust him implicitly, and he hasn't any worry about, you know, getting money from the banks.
Now, what kind of business is that the chairman is in?
It's some kind of a plastic thing that the glass in the window sets in.
Ah, so he's a manufacturer. Of window equipment.
Yes,
and
right.
He has how many children?
He has three, two boys and a girl.
Okay, and
they're his one son is also a lawyer, tax lawyer, and another son just graduated law school.
Very good.
And a daughter that has her MBA. She has a little boy.
Very good. And Betty, who has
Betty.
Quite a career. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Betty.
She's very devoted to her brothers. Just
loved them.
Yes.
And was a little sad when they went off and got married.
Now, tell us about what Betty has been doing by way of a career in volunteerism.
Yes. Well, she has, I know she worked right after school, after she got married. She still worked at the Y and in the...
Well, she's a social worker also.
Oh, yeah, she's a social worker.
So that has been her field.
She's not as prominent as Barbara is, but she's she goes around talking and with all the big companies.
Yes. Now, her particular area of interest is getting people involved in volunteering.
That's right. Yeah. How to volunteer and what to do about it, you know. To do something you want to do, you know, to help people in a certain way that will enrich you as well as it will
help them. And then she's done a great deal.
Right.
And he has how many children?
He has three, two boys and a girl.
Okay.
And they're his one son is also a lawyer, tax lawyer, and another son just graduated law school.
Very good.
And a daughter that has her MBA, she has a little boy.
Very good. And Betty, who has quite a career. Yes, yeah. Let's talk about Betty.
Yeah. She's very devoted to her brothers. Just loved them.
Yes.
I was a little sad when they went off and got married.
Now, tell us about what Betty has been doing by way of a career in volunteerism.
Yes. Well, she has, I know she worked right after school, after she got married. She still worked at the Y and in the...
Well, she's a social worker also.
Oh, yeah, she's a social worker.
So that
also
has been her field.
She's not as prominent as Barbara is, but she goes around talking and with all the big companies.
Yes. Now, her particular area of interest is getting people involved in volunteering.
That's right. Yeah, how to volunteer and what to do about it, you know. To do something you want to do, you know, to help people in a certain way that will enrich you as well as it will help them.
Now, she's done a great deal of work in getting people involved as volunteers.
Right.
Can you think about anything particularly that you want to describe that she's done? I know she worked for the United Way for some years.
And I know she works with the television, Channel 4, and she works with People's Gas Company.
She's the president of CAB, right? Consumers Advisory Board for People's Natural Gas. She is the president of that. Correct?
If she's so modest, she didn't tell you.
Because I forget. Imagine forgetting to go to class. That I can't forgive myself.
And Betty's husband, Bob.
Bob
can
is
tell us a bit
also
about
a chemist. He works for Coppers and has quite a nice... he's trusted with a lot of their ideas, whatever they do, that he's very well satisfied with his position.
And they have two children.
They
can't
have
tell us
two,
about
yeah.
their two?
Jane and Alan. Alan, after he graduated, quite some time and he couldn't get any work. So he wanted to go to Washington because he had friends there. And he fixed up his resume and started opening doors.
And he's now with the State Department.
Right.
Yes. And Jane?
Jane is a lawyer, as you know.
And she has her own
her own business, yes.
Right. Are there any other accomplishments of your grandchildren that you want to tell us about before
we
go on?
Well, I have one daughter-in-law, granddaughter, Erica, that's Jack's daughter. She's a lawyer. And now she's trying to be a social worker lawyer. She's taken exams. She called me the other day and told me that she had just taken the last exam for the first year. So she's been in it for one whole year. She has another year to go.
Now she's in California.
That's Barbara's daughter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And any other accomplishments of grandchildren you'd like to describe?
Well, and Sherman, his son is a tax lawyer. And his other son is also
well, it's
graduating
hard to
lawyer.
Keep.
Lot of attorneys
a
in
lot
this
of
family.
Attorneys.
Yes, yes, indeed. So you're covered, whatever
I'm covered.
You do. Okay, let's talk now about your own travels. You've had some wonderful trips to other parts of the world.
I've been six times to Europe, and I've been in France. I have visited every museum that you can think of. These are gorgeous homes that have been kept by the government, and they're used as museums. And you have, you can go there, you know, look around and enjoy the beautiful work, the tapestries and the pictures, and which is lovely. I did have a wonderful time, and I made sure. Well, my son told me that when I first started to go, he says, bring along a grandchild, so you'll have company, and it'll be safer for you too, you know, that you have somebody. So I did, and every time I went, I took another grandchild.
How wonderful for them and for you.
Yeah, right.
And you've also traveled in the south of France. Do you want to talk about
a little bit? Oh, about this house.
The house in the south of France.
South of France in Cotinac. And you're not very far from Saint-Martin and all those seaport cities, you know. And we went there, and we would... I love to go into the butcher shop and buy the chicken, and you have to bring your own wrappings. You have to bring your own paper and your own bag, and the bread is sold without paper wrapped. You know, the bread is on, and the lady who you give the lady the, this is what you want this loaf of bread, so she puts it down and there are flies all over the place. She gets the flies and keeps on wrapping. I thought that was cute.
Now, the house that you that Sydney has in the south of France, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yes, it's a lovely house. It's a country house. It's really a country. It's not a city house, it's a country house. Although he has just one bathroom, which he feels very bad about. He has the designs of making another bathroom, but the house itself has cost him so much money. We call it, we don't call it his home, we call it the sinking fund.
And this is...
It's beautiful. He has 7.5 acres there. And
how old is the house? Do you have any
idea?
The house that he owns?
It's not old.
Oh, it's a relatively new house.
He built it. He had it built. Yes. And
what part of France is that home in?
That's in the south, south of France, going toward the road towards Cannes and
near Cannes.
It's called Cotignac.
Cotignac. C-O-T-I-N-A. I have to write it. Cotignac. T-I-N-A-C. And it's near Salerne, and it's near, I used to know all those things. Every day that passes, I know less and less.
Oh, you're doing pretty well.
I do.
Tell us about, you've been involved in the grape harvest there. You want to talk about that a little bit?
And this last grape harvest, this was in October, he had 5 ton of grapes. I can't believe it. The grapes are real big and nice. Each bunch is very heavy, like a 10-pound bunch. And what happens is you have a certain day to pick your grapes, because all the grapes of that vicinity are sent to a place where it's crushed, measured for alcohol and sugar, and then you're notified how much, you know, you will get for your amount. Because you're not going to make the wine from your little farm, you know. You have to have a lot of grapes and machinery and everything.
Do you
trucks?
Does he hire people to pick the grapes, or
yes.
did you
oh,
get
yeah,
involved
yeah.
in the grape picking
well,
while you were there?
Well, I picked grapes too. So did Betty and Alan, her son, and so did Bob. But there was also about 3 or 4 more people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They wait for the day because it's really a holiday when they pick the grapes. Because they have a big dinner, you have lots of food, and you're paid well for picking, and they enjoy it very much. So the young people look forward to that.
Mm.
Yeah, it's lovely. I like it very much.
You've got good memories of France. And
yeah, oh yes,
there.
Very
yes.
good.
You've also traveled to Israel. Can you recall some of your impressions of Israel?
Yes, I was very, very... I can't say the word happy. Happy doesn't cover it. I was so thrilled with the idea of walking the pavements there. I couldn't believe it. I said, if my mother was alive, my father, my grandfather, grandmother, imagine walking on the streets. And it didn't bother me, you know, when I wanted to buy something and they said, it's too expensive. I said, no, nothing is too expensive when you're visiting Israel. And I loved it. I loved it all the time. It was quite hot, but we went in July, and it was hot. But it was beautiful.
Any special memories, any particular places in Israel that you particularly
Well, we went
liked?
To the museums. We went to all the museums. We went to... Betty went to that hot place down near the Solomon Mines. I forget what you called it.
Where the Salt Sea is? Is that...
The Dead Sea?
The Dead Sea.
No, I went in the Dead Sea, too. Mm-hmm. there's a lot of pebbles in the sea. Mm-hmm. Instead of sand, it's yes. pebbles, and I slipped.
Oh.
And I fell, and I wanted to say, ouch, or something like, ow. And I got a mouthful of salt water.
Yes. Did you? What about Jerusalem? Did you have particular fondness for Jerusalem?
Oh, I love Jerusalem. Yes. I loved it. This beautiful King David's Wall. And it was just, it was, you know, history come alive. You can't believe it when you're there. It's just incredible. And the Israelis were so beautiful. Betty had a address of a family that had lived there, a Jewish family who had come from Russia and lived there. And it was some way that she knew the people that knew them. And when we told them we were coming, they came and picked us up so we shouldn't have to worry, you know, how to get to her place. And when we came in, the mother was standing at the door. I'll never forget it. She had both arms out. She says, "Welcome, welcome, my dearest friends to Israel. Welcome." And she had the most beautiful supper, everything homemade, mm-hmm. you know. It was just, that I can't forget. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
And Betty, for quite a number of years after that, had sent the children toys mm-hmm. from the United States.
Yes. Are there other travels, other trips you've made that are especially rich in your mind that you remember
well? One travel that I made was to find my father's grave.
Oh,
this was very important to me.
Yes.
Because, first of all, we were too poor to bring him, and we didn't have any plots in New York City, so he was buried in Denver, Colorado.
Oh.
So he went there, and he was there 1 year and died. He wrote to my mother that he wants to come home. He wrote her a 12-page letter that he wants to come home, and if he has to die, he wants to die at home. He doesn't want to die here. And so my mother sent him $25. That's what cost the trip on the railroad. And when it arrived, he was dead. Oh. They had already buried him.
This was at the Denver Jewish Hospital, is that
the Denver
where
Jewish
yes.
Hospital, the City of Hope or whatever you call
yes.
it, I don't know. And
so you decided to go to Denver? And
yeah. Well, we all thought of going there. My mother did, my sisters did. We all wanted to go to the place and see my father's grave.
Yes.
But, oh, yes.
Where
they,
was the father?
They called my
Denver.
Mother.
They went to Europe, I thought.
No, Denver.
Oh,
Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
Yes.
Denver, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
They called my mother and told her, they didn't call her, they sent a telegram to my mother, what should they do with the $25 because he's not there. Imagine having to ask.
Oh.
So she says, put a stone on his grave.
Mm-hmm.
$25. That was in 1906.
1906.
Can you imagine $25 for a grave?
Yes.
He never got it. What they what we found was a piece of tin this big.
Hmm. Just a marker.
Just a metal marker. A metal marker, yeah.
Huh. Now,
this time, it was already buried in the ground, so they had to dig up quite a number of graves to find that piece of tin, and
so,
they found it.
So you went to Denver in search of his grave. Do you
yeah.
remember when that was, Mrs. Shore?
Oh, yes. It's about 4 or 5 years ago.
And
just recent.
Was the cemetery associated with the Jewish hospital there?
Yes, it was associated because they died like flies, the young people. You could see the graves, 19 years old, 21, 20. Yeah.
This was all tuberculosis?
All tuberculosis. And the whole hospital was formed because of the tuberculosis. They thought that the air, the mountain air,
mm-hmm.
you know, would do them good. But they actually froze to death there. They're still a model building. It looks like a one-car garage. And they have one very large window. They have a door and one very large window that you have to lift up. It has a hook and hook to the top of the window. And that window itself weighs a ton. It's so heavy.
Hmm.
So in order to open the window, if you want some fresh air, I can just, and there were no pipes or anything that showed that there was a toilet or it was a sink or, and you know.
This was the way the hospital rooms were set up.
Yes. And there was the main building, and you, wherever you walked, you saw little signs of this well was dug because of the Jewish women of New Orleans, something like that. This was given, or this house was built with the money of from this and this city. And they didn't get a penny from any government or anybody that went.
Could you tell us again the name of that hospital? I don't have it.
Oh, it's called the Denver Hospital, but it's no more a hospital.
Oh.
It's now the National Research Center for Cancer.
But it was at the time called the Denver Jewish Hospital.
The Denver Jewish Hospital, because it was only six or seven Jewish doctors.
People came from all over the United States to this hospital. Huh. Were they all tubercular patients?
Yeah.
Hmm. I see.
And I was at my brother-in-law's house one year. This is five or seven years ago. And he called his son, who had just moved to Denver. And when I heard the word Denver, I got all excited, and I says, can I speak to, he says, sure, well, what is it? Well, I want to go to Denver, and I want to find my father's grave.
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, I'll go ahead, talk to, I spoke to him, and he says, listen, Aunt Gussie, let me find out something first before you come and knock yourself out. She says, I'll be glad to do it for you. You're my favorite aunt.
Nice.
So he went to the House of Records, you know, like
in the city of Denver.
In the city, yeah. And they said, from 1906, this was 70, it was about 79, I think.
So it was a long time ago.
Right.
Yes.
So he says, well, please try. This is an aunt of mine, and he tells her a whole, you know, or him. And they did try, and they found it.
Huh.
They found the records of my father that was dead from 1906.
Yes.
This was in the 1970-something.
Yes.
I forgot.
Well, they were good record keepers.
Yeah. And the hospital, he went to the hospital, and he spoke. There was one head man. There's no more the hospital. They have another hospital on the same grounds that they just built. It's a new hospital for cancer research.
Let's see.
And I wanted very much to get a copy of what my father answered the questions. I wanted to know what he thought, you know, how long he was in the United States or what. He called himself Samuel Kirshner. That was on the grave, on that piece of tin,
yes.
Samuel Kirshner.
Yes. And were there records about his
interviews? There was records, but the man wouldn't give it to my nephew.
Mm.
He wouldn't give it to my
nephew.
And I gave him $25 to give to him, you know, just for the search and everything.
Yes.
So
so you went yourself and found
it. I went myself, and after he, you know, and I arrived in Denver, and I just became hysterical.
Mm.
Before, you know, after he didn't say a word, my nephew, and then after he met me, he says, you know, he says, I'm so glad to do this for you.
Yes.
And he came, and I said, look, honey, he said, tonight it's too late and too dark to go to the cemetery. I know where it is, and I'll take you there. And he had everything planned. He took off 2 weeks to do this favor for me.
Now, who maintains this cemetery? Does the Jewish community of
Denver?
There's
a Jewish, I have the name of the of the people, because I send them every month, or no, not every month, every year. Or 6 months, under $25 to, you know.
So it's kind of a lovely way of keeping these graves maintained.
Yeah, well, I bought a
community.
Stone. I bought a stone, and in Denver, everything is rock. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all mountain. You know, that's just a level of the mountains, Denver. I bought a stone already with the bottom stone. That's how you just put the stone on. You can't dig, you know, put it in so it'll stay.
Because the ground is so rocky.
Yeah, the ground is solid rock.
So it made you feel really good to be able to take care of that.
My sister, my sister's still alive, my younger sister, and she should live and be well. Mm-hmm. And she was hoping to go there this year. Well, this year I planned to go there, this past year,
mm-hmm.
in December, I think, I planned to go there. So I spent $750. I was going to go from here to Denver, and from Denver to California mm-hmm. to visit, you know, my... But what happened, I had to leave my... The place I was staying, my husband's brother, her brother died, and there was a consummate, and I didn't want to stay there with the...
Didn't finish that trip.
So I lost $250 on the trip.
Yes.
Because it wasn't... it was a super special that I paid for, the $750, and I never got a nickel back. But... So I'd like to go again this time if I'm able. When I go to California, I'd like to
visit the gravesite.
Yeah.
Okay, that certainly seems to cover most of the trips. Are there any other trips you want to talk about that you remember as being particularly wonderful? Any other travels that you want to comment on?
I've been to New York, I don't know how many times. That's the place I was born.
Yes.
And to the museums there and everything.
You prefer to visit museums when you visit cities.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Well, that's the artist in you.
Yeah,
yes.
Right away. Okay, I remember going in on Madison Avenue with my husband. I told you about this. And I said, oh, there's a store there. There's a gallery. Let's cross. He says, you want to go cross? You go. I'm going to walk here.
He wasn't ready to visit anymore.
I had crossed already twice before that.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit, if you will, about some of the changes that you've seen in your lifetime. Some of the ways in which the world seems to you to have changed very much.
Before you answer, we're going to change the tape.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll hold on just a minute. We're going to turn the tape, and then we'll talk about that.